Could we turn to John chapter 9 for our reading? The Gospel of John chapter 9, starting to read it, verse 1. John 9, verse 1. Now, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him." Now, the Lord wasn't saying this was a sinless man. There's nobody on this earth who has ever been sinless apart from the Lord Jesus. But nothing in particular that happened that had made this man blind, but the Lord was going to be revealed through what had happened to him. Verse 4, "I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said these things, he spat on the ground. He made clay with the saliva, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which is translated "sent." So he went and washed and came back seeing. Therefore the neighbors and those who previously had seen that he was blind said, "Is not this he who sat and begged?" Some said, "This is he." Others said, "He is like him." He said, "I am he." Therefore they said to him, "How were your eyes opened?" He answered and said, "A man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, 'Go to the pool of Siloam and wash.' So I went and washed and I received sight." Then they said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." They brought him who formerly was blind to the Pharisees. Now it was a Sabbath when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also asked him again how he had received his sight. He said to them, "He put clay on my eyes and washed, and I see." Therefore some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, because he does not keep the Sabbath." Others said, "How can a man who is a sinner do such signs?" And there was a division among them. Now, verse 23. Therefore his parents said, "He is of age, ask him." Because the Pharisees had said that anybody who believes in Jesus is going to be put out of the temple. And the parents of this man didn't want to be put out of the temple, so that's why they were trying to get out of it. A bit sad, really. Verse 23, the parents said, "He is of age, ask him." So they again called the man who was blind and said to him, "Give God the glory. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered and said, "Whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see." Verse 35. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said to him, "Do you believe in the Son of God?" He answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him?" And Jesus said to him, "You have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you." Then he said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshipped him. Blind, but now I see. There was a couple. Oh, they were so pleased. They had a little baby boy. And they were enjoying their little baby boy, but as time went on, they realized this little baby was blind. What a shock. How horrible to know their baby is blind. Blindness. What a terrible thing it is. Perhaps after you've seen a blind person, you've tried to imagine what it's like. I used to be the chairman for the local Torch Trust for the Blind meeting, and there was a lady who used to come along to our meetings who told the story of how the Friday night she was completely all right. Saturday morning, she woke up, or they woke up, she and her husband, and she said to her husband, pull the curtains back. He said, I have. Well, put the light on. I have. And that lady had gone completely blind in her sleep. Seeing perfectly the night before, no problems with her eyesight, and yet waking up suddenly blind, and she was blind for the rest of her life. A horrible thing, blindness. We are all blind. You say, well, I'm all right. I can see you. And perhaps I wish I couldn't see you or something like that. But no, we are all blind, aren't we? We cannot see nor understand the things about God. That's blindness. I couldn't see it till I was 18. The things about God until God opened my eyes and I realized these things. It was like a light being switched on in a dark room when suddenly it all made sense. What didn't make sense before? Sorry. Another verse in 2 Corinthians says this, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose mind the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. We are blinded by the evil one and by our own sin. And people don't like to be told it, but we are, like that man, blind from birth. As soon as we start to hear the things about God, we do not really understand them until the light of the gospel, God's light, shines upon us. The blind man had to beg. In those days, there was no hostels or places where blind people could go to be looked after. All you could do would be to beg. And the Lord Jesus is the only one who can make blind people see today. Physically, not so, is it? Because blind people are hearing, do have operations, some certain forms of blindness, and people can be made to see. But spiritually, the Lord Jesus is the only one who can make any blind person see. And the Lord Jesus said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Everyone needs to see Christ's light. We all need the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ to shine upon us. I remember that day so well, Compton Dundon Village Hall, when that light just dawned upon me. I saw it, and I hated myself for being a hypocrite. Sort of standing on the fence, even had been a Sunday school teacher, church member, doing things, but not really living for the Lord at all. And I suddenly thought, you're such a hypocrite. And it was almost as though this has to be the final decision. If you don't trust the Lord today, you might never come. And it just broke me. Lord Jesus, thank you for dying on that cross for me. I saw it in that personal way for the first time in my life. And I've been talking to children, six children in my Sunday school class, about the Savior. But I'd seen it personally for myself then, because the light of the glory of Christ dawned on me that day. I realize I'm a sinner. Forgive my sin, Lord. Come into my life. Save me. Help me from now on to live for you. The light dawned. And it changed my life. We all need to have that light shine upon us. The Lord met this man, and like the disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. And the Lord was now used in this man's life to bring a lesson, one of the signs that Jesus really is the Messiah, and God was using it for his glory. And Jesus spoke with the man, and he made clay with the saliva. Not the normal way to heal somebody, is it? Spit on the ground and get the dirt from the ground and rub it together and make a mud and rub it on a person's eyes. But the Lord was bringing glory to his name through what he did there. And he told the man to go and wash in the pool of Siloam. And the man went off to that pool, washed, and came back seeing. What a lovely story it is. You know, that man who had never seen anything before, born blind. And the Lord rubs that mud on his face and off he goes, obeying. He must have got someone to take him there. And he goes and washes that pool and comes back seeing. So it's a lovely story. I can see, all the joy of that man's heart after all those years. And the people ask him what happened. And he just enjoys telling them, this man made mud. Perhaps he didn't see where the Lord got the water from to make mud, because we don't hear him telling that little bit of the story. He just says he made mud and he put it on my eyes. I went and washed and I could see. And later on he's questioned himself as we looked at it. And the parents are there and the Pharisee says, is this your son? Well, ask him, he's of age, you know. How do you know he was made blind and now he could see? And he says this lovely thing. One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see. One thing I know, now I see. Do I know this? Can I honestly say, yes, there was a time in my life when I realized I was a guilty sinner. I realized I was lost, and I came and I put my trust in that Savior. I cast myself upon him. One thing I know. It's a lovely thing to know. God doesn't want people, Christians, to go through the rest of their life thinking, well, I hope I'm a Christian. I hope it's going to work out all right for me. God wants us to know that we are the Lord's. And we can only know that when we have trusted the Lord Jesus, because the Holy Spirit then comes into our life, and it's the Holy Spirit who gives us the assurance that we are truly his and born again. One thing I know. Only the real Christian like can have that real sense of salvation. And then what do we see? One thing I know, I was blind, now I see. The first thing is, I saw how blind I really was. I suddenly realized I had been heading for hell. Now I am heading for heaven. I was blind. I couldn't see it, could I? My mum would try and witness to me, and I would say, it's a load of rubbish. How could anybody dying on a cross 2,000 years ago have anything to do with me today? It's just no, it don't make sense. I realized soon after coming to the Lord how blind I really was. And we do, don't we? What else do we see? We're blind. I saw how lost I was. A lost, guilty, straying sinner, away from God. But not just lost, I was dead in my sins, the Bible told me. We start to see these things where we were. What else do we see? We see where we are now, saved. Oh, I remember the joy of realizing that. I'm forgiven. All my sins that I've ever committed, every wrong thing has been taken away. I'm cleansed. Oh, what a joy was that. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God. What else do we see? We see Jesus. We understand who he is, why he came. Hebrews 2:9 says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor. We see why he came. We see he's risen again. He's there in heaven. He's working there, pleading and interceding for me. What else do we see? We see what Christ did for me personally. The Son of God who loved me. And I'm more amazed every time I think of that truth. He loved me and gave himself for me. Oh, what a wonderful Savior. How we need to see that in a personal way. That's what made the difference in my life. He died for me. I must want to live for him. We see that we are now complete in the Lord Jesus. Colossians 2:10 tells us, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. We need nothing else. We're completely saved and forgiven. It's not Jesus plus this. It's not Jesus plus that, some experience or whatever. We are complete in him. I've got everything I need in the Lord Jesus for my life here and now. And I need nothing extra through life. And there are those who tell you, you need this, you need that. But no, we're complete. That moment we trusted Jesus as our Savior, from then on, we're complete in him. What else do we see? We see where those who are still blind are going. That was the next big thing that hit me. In the building trade, sometimes in the workshop, sometimes out on site, different places. My mates are lost. My mates here on this site are heading for hell. I was heading there once, now I'm saved. I started to see my work to do. I've got to try and tell them. Thankfully, it all came kind of naturally for me. What's up with you? You don't fiddle the timesheets anymore. You don't want to take things anymore. You don't swear like you used to swear. What's up with you? I've become a Christian. Jesus has changed me. And I had a natural opportunity. It just developed from there. I didn't have to say, well, I'm going to start preaching to them. They just came to me and wanted to know what had changed me. And you're reading the New Testament now in your lunch hours instead of just reading different books and things. Yeah, the Lord gave me that opportunity. But that's what we see. After we're saved, we see we've got a work to do. Because people around us are still lost. And then I want to look at the man's progression, how things developed in that man's understanding about Jesus. First of all, the man, he said, a man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes. He just knew that this character was only a man. That was all, well, he saw him afterwards, but secondly, in the progress, what do you say about him because he opened your eyes? He said, he is a prophet. A bit more than just an ordinary man now. He's starting to understand a little bit more about the Lord Jesus, isn't he? And then he says this, and Jesus is one to be followed. He answered them, I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples, his followers? And the Pharisees didn't like this man because he was willing to speak up for this Jesus. And later on, you know, do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his followers? Jesus is a person worth following in life's journey, isn't he? And then the Pharisees cast this man out, like they said, anybody who becomes a follower of the Lord Jesus, and it was obvious this man was standing up for this person who had healed him, and so he was thrown out of the temple. And then the Lord met him again. He came to him when the Lord knew he'd been thrown out of the temple. And the Lord said this to him. Jesus said to him, do you believe in the Son of God? And he answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? And Jesus said, told him who he was. And he said, Lord, I believe that he is the Son of God, and he worshipped him. He really had his eyes spiritually opened as well as physically opened as well, and he came to realize Jesus was the Messiah, the Son of God, and he worshipped him. Our progression, we must be progressing, going on, or we go back. I hope I haven't told you the story here before, how back when I was a single chap, I used to take the seats out of the little car I had, and apart from the driver's seat, the passenger seat, and I had my bed long ways there because I took the back seat out as well as an old Boris Minor Traveller car, and I had a stove in the back, and that was my little caravan for a long time. And one day I was at Exford, and I thought, I want to find out where the River Exe starts. So it was quite a wide river there where I was, and I was determined. I took a few sandwiches, and I was going to go off for the day, and I was going to make it all the way up to the source of the river. Some of the areas I was walking on private land, I understand, and things, but I came to an area where the river just seemed to disappear. It was a big broad area. It was a valley most of the way, but in one place the river just the area was a wide place, and the river had just made its way all through this boggy area. And me being a stupid character I was, thought, well, I've got to go through the middle of it because I might not find the stream on the other side if I go around it. So there was these great big clumps. They would stand out about that high out of the black slimy mud, and loaded clumps. So I would jump on one clump, and then I had to jump onto another clump. Only I realized I had to keep going because the big clumps of grassy stuff I was on would sink. And so I had to get off quick onto the next one. And there was times when I had to sort of look up quick and try and work out I was going in the right direction to jump on. And the thought went through my mind, if I fall off into that horrible, slimy, black mud, nobody's ever going to find me again. My mum and dad won't know what happened to their son, where he'd gone. I didn't tell anybody where I was going. And I got quite concerned as I was jumping over those swamps. And I can assure you, I was praying like anything that the Lord would get me through, and eventually got over the other side. But that's like us in life. We cannot stand still. Some Christians seem to think, well, I've reached a fairly good level of spirituality. I enjoy going to church. I enjoy doing this, reading my Bible. I don't want to get too holy or, you know, too religious. I'll stand here. We cannot stay still. We've got to be progressing, reading God's word, praying, coming along to the fellowship, learning all we can. If you ever reach that point where you say, I want to stay still in my Christian life, you will go back. The devil will get in. You'll sin. We've got to keep on going, pressing on with the Lord Jesus and looking to the Lord Jesus all through life's journey. We cannot stay still. Or may we all be continuing. But first of all, we've got to make sure that we've got that testimony, that we know the Lord, and never be afraid to use your testimony, friends. I've used it lots of times in the open air. I've had people who've shouted at me, and scientists using big long words, and I had a mathematician once in Devizes, and he was wiping the floor with me with his big long words. I said, I'm sorry, mate. I can't argue with those using words I've never heard of. And I said, look, 1969 I came and trusted, 1970 I trusted the Lord as my Savior. I'd heard about him all through 69. And I told him what I did. And he said, that's what I'm looking for. Reality. Can I take all the booklets you've got? You know, a scientist in Cambridge. Similar story. You know, he was wiping the floor with me and he said, no, you've got reality. I haven't. I want to know more. Don't be afraid to use your testimony. But to use your testimony, you've got to make sure you've got one, that you've come and trusted the Saviour and that your eyes have been opened. Let's turn to our hymn book, shall we? Whilst there is a cup of tea, if anybody would like to chat, perhaps you disagree with something I've said, then I'm used to people disagreeing with me. You can come and chat over a cup of tea. But if you want to know more about that Saviour, please do, or one of the leaders here in the church would love to talk with you.